Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If I do not receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, my body and my kingdom are certainly useless. Purport. This is an excellent example of Dhrida Vrata, determination. If one does not receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one's life is defeated. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 5, Verse 5, it is said, Parabhavastavada bodha jato yavannajna sata atma tattvam. Unless one inquires into spiritual life, everything is useless. Without spiritual inquiry, our labor and the object of our labor are simply a waste of time. It's a very short purport. Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today is also a special day. It is the disappearance day of Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, who is one of the very prominent Vaishnava Acharyas. In fact, he is well known as the defender of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Perhaps without him, we would not have the reach and domain of our sampradaya as we see it today. And I was asked by the organizers to say a few words on Baladev Vidyabhushan. And just before the class, I met one of my very good friends. And he told me, if we can understand the history and the heritage of our previous acharyas, we can really appreciate what we have received. So, with the inspiration from him and from the other devotees I spoke to, I will try and speak about Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan in connection with this verse. So the verse is, Jadishai Mahaprabhur Napai Kripadhan. If one does not receive the Kripadhan, the wealth of mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kiba Rajya Kiba De, what is the use of a great life, kingdom? What is the use of a perfect body? Shaba akaran. Everything is simply useless. And I think we see this in the interaction between Lord Krishna and Arjuna. In fact, the Lord directly tells him, what is that verse, Achyut Prabhu? Chapter 11, Bhagavad Gita. Verse 30 or 33 or... Yes. Nimitta matram bhavasavyasachin. That's it. So he says, Krishna says, Mayeva ete nihata sarvameva. I have already killed all these opposite army men, Arjuna. Nimittamatram bhavasavyasachin. You simply become an instrument, and by becoming my instrument, you will gain my mercy. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the West, in his diary he writes, make me dance, O Lord, make me dance. I'm a puppet in your hands. So what is mercy? Real mercy is when we become instruments in the hands of the Lord. And the real appreciation is when that times are so difficult, everything is against us, and yet we demonstrate that deep surrender and live a life in which we fully dedicate ourselves to become the instruments in the hands of the Supreme Lord. And two such personalities I want to talk about today. One is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, briefly, and then mainly Baladev Vidyabhushan, how he practically lived his entire life in the service of Mahaprabhu. So to be able to appreciate and understand, I was speaking to Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu earlier, to understand the heritage, I think I would like to give you a little bit of a historical context of the time in which both Baladev Vidyabhushan and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur appeared. Because the historical context will give you a glimpse of both the challenges that they faced externally and how they dealt with it, which is a lesson for all of us. So, India in the medieval times, of course, during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, Bengal was ruled by one of the slaves of the Mohammedan dynasty, the Mughal dynasty. He was a slave from Somalia. Actually, this is all history. The Mughals, they would claim slaves from different parts of the world, mainly from Africa. And they would depute these slaves. They would actually train them to become absolute tyrannical rulers, ruthless. And if they proved to be ruthless, like for example, butchering and drinking human blood, if they proved that they could do that, they would make them as kings of subordinate kingdoms. So the Somalian slave, he became the ruler of Bengal. And of course, he was very tyrannical, but the peak of the Mughal kingdom's history was when Aurangzeb came to power. And Aurangzeb was met with a lot of resistance. Now, I will not spend more than 5 minutes giving you the lesson of history, but it's important to understand the context in which India is at this point in time. So the year is 1669. Aurangzeb was the emperor of pretty much north of India and much of South India as well. He had some alliances in South India. So he was practically, he had conquered land which would be as huge as from London to Athens in Greece. That huge land. But he was met with a lot of opposition right within his kingdom, very close, in Thilapat. Gokul, there was a Jat known as Gokul Jat. He had a small army of his own and he was pushing back Aurangzeb. He was revolutionary. In Punjab, Guru Tegh Bahadur, one of the gurus of the Sikh religion, he became a very well-known guru. He was revolting. The Rajputs in Rajasthan were revolting. And the absolute pain for Aurangzeb were the Marathas, led by Shivaji in Maharashtra, who were invincible forces. They were all you know, revolting. And so in 1669, Aurangzeb passed a farman. Farman in Persian means a royal decree that every single temple should be looted, demolished, and the deities should be broken into pieces and brought to him. And he would commission those broken pieces of deities to be put under the steps of the different mosques that he would build. This was the farman. So, five very big important temples, which were very revered by the local population, were demolished. There was the Somnath Temple in Gujarat, Kashi Vishwanath Temple in Varanasi. It all happened in the year 1669. The Katra Keshavdev Mandir in Mathura, which is also known as Krishna Janmabhumi Temple, and Treta Yuga Temple in Ayodhya, which was where Ramachandra, he did his Ashwamedh Yajna. That temple was demolished. And there was a very beautiful 7-story temple in Vrindavan, which is known as Radha Govindadev Mandir, which was also demolished by the forces of Aurangzeb. And so, all the local population, I mean, he had an open order. Kill, loot, pillage, rape, murder. That's it. Anyone who is not of the faith. And this Gokul Jat was also the other thing that Aurangzeb was known to do, is to have truces with, or alliances, or alliance partnership with different kings. Like the king of Mysore, the Wodeyar dynasty. They had partnership with, or alliance with the Mughals, with Aurangzeb, so that Aurangzeb would not attack them. Similarly, amongst the Rajput in the area of Jaipur, Raja Jai Singh and his forefathers, they had alliance with the Mughals. So they were Hindu kings, but they had alliances because they wanted to protect their kingdom. So you can imagine this situation where Rajasthan and Uttar Pradesh, they are neighboring states in India. The entire north is swept by this royal order, the decree from Aurangzeb, and everything is being destroyed. And at that time, this is the tumultuous period when a great personality is born in Saidabad, which is near Murshidabad in West Bengal. That personality is known as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur later on. So he is born in this very tumultuous period. And in fact, the peak of the madness of Aurangzeb was when, in 1681, he passed the order of demolishing the temple of Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. And he said, "Bring the deities to me, because they are made of wood. No point in demolishing them and putting them under the stairs of the mosques. I would like to burn them personally, because they are made of wood." So the Mohammedan soldiers, they went. And they went to Puri actually. And the king of Puri, the Gajadeva, Gajapati, Purushottam Deva's descendants, they bribed the army officer who came to demolish the temple and to take away Jagannath. And they bribed him so much that he agreed. And later on, he said, "But you know, I cannot go empty-handed to Aurangzeb. And Aurangzeb will figure out." So Gajapati, he said, the king of Orissa, of Puri, said, "You take a replica Jagannath. I will get you a replica made. You take the replica Jagannath with you." the problem for Aurangzeb was bigger. He was not so much concerned with the Rajputs, because half of the Rajputs, they would make alliances with Aurangzeb by offering their daughters or granddaughters as the daughter-in-laws or as wives for Aurangzeb. So that was the, you know, marriage alliance they had, the Rajput, the Hindu Rajput kings. So Aurangzeb wasn't too concerned. Actually, from Aurangzeb's mother's side, his maternal grandmother was also a Rajput. So he had some soft corner for the Rajputs. The Sikhs in Punjab, they were revolutionaries, but they were curtailed. But the big pain for him was the Marathas, led by Shivaji. These Marathas was a different kind of breed. Aurangzeb, he thought they were infallible, invincible, true Kshatriyas. In fact, Shivaji in his army, now we have women empowerment, Shivaji in his army, he had officials, lady officers and lady officials. In fact, commanders. There was one commander who was also a lady. And the Maratha training was such, the Kshatriya training, that even mothers who had just given birth to like an infant, 1 week old infant. Some historians say these Maratha infants would keep crying until the mother, with 1 week infant baby, the mother would say, "Today you have been drinking my milk, but that has not satisfied you. Today I will give you the real drink." And she would take the baby, tie the baby on her back, facing away from the back, and would ride the horse into the military war with the Mughal soldiers. And when she would slash the throats of those Mughal soldiers, the blood gushing out from those soldiers would fall on the lips of these babies and they would stop crying. So they were trained as infants, they were trained as marshals. So Maratha army was 60,000 force. And Aurangzeb sent 500,000 soldiers. And the Marathas butchered them all. Because this is the Marathas. These were the, you know. So Aurangzeb was really, really, he actually left Delhi, North India, and went all the way to Maharashtra, where we have Bombay and other places, in a place called Aurangabad. And he died there, in fact, in Aurangabad. Now, this is the period of 1700s, where another great personality was born in Orissa in Remuna. And that personality is Baladev Vidyabhushan. He was born in 1700 in a place called Remuna, where Kirchor Gopinath deities are very famous. So, the reason why Jagannath temple was saved was, although that general who came to finish, you know, the temple, did not demolish the temple and burn the, take the deity of Jagannath, when he reached Delhi, Aurangzeb said, "Don't bother me. I am having sleepless nights and headaches because of these Marathas." The Marathas never lost a single war, because even their infants had the taste of Mughal blood. They wanted to, from birth, if you are trained like this, what kind of a training is this? So these are real Kshatriyas. Kshatriya ladies. The entire force of women armies the Marathas had under Shivaji. Shivaji Rao. And when the slave kings of the Mughals, when they would hear the name of Shivaji, they would run. They would run away from their kingdom. They would say, some of them would go for Hajj to Mecca. So that they, in those days, you go for Hajj means you go for 2 years, because you have to go long distance. This is the fear of Shivaji. And Shivaji was a Vaishnava. He was a Vaishnava king. So great personality. Anyway, so like that. That time, in that tumultuous period, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he was in Well, he left Murshidabad, Saidabad, and he went to Vrindavan. Because Rup and Sanatan, what were the instructions of Rup and Sanatan Goswami? Three instructions were given to them. One was excavate all the places of pastimes of Krishna. Number two, write the scriptures in glorification of Krishna. And third was build temples so that devotees can congregate. Like-minded, even Srila Prabhupada writes in the foundation document of ISKCON, he says, this is a place, we have these temples so that like-minded devotees can congregate to glorify the Lord. It is not for social affairs. Temples. So these three instructions were there to the Goswamis. So Vrindavan was the hub. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was staying in Radhakund in Vrindavan. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was very, very clever, and he understood that this Mughal rulers will not spare anyone. And yet, can we go to the verse text? The verse text says, Jadi Shai Mahaprabhur Napai Kripadhan. Go to the Bengali also, please. That's it. Okay. Jadi Shai Mahaprabhur Napai Kripadhan. If one does not accept the Kripadhan of Mahaprabhu, then one's life is sab akaran. Everything is useless. This was the mood of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So even while, you can imagine, at one point, they say that even Radhakund area was not spared, was looted and pillaged. Even the sadhus were forced to accept the religion of the emperor Aurangzeb. So, even in that situation, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, you know, we have difficulties in our lives. But the reality is we have a lot of freedom. We can practically do what we want, go where we want, speak what we want, think how we want to, believe in what we want to. You want to believe in unicorns and fairies? Yeah. Actually, there is in UK, there are fairy festivals. Have you heard of this? I've not been to one, but yes, I want to go someday. Just, why not? That's a whole 2,000-5,000 people. They all believe in fairies, and they believe in unicorns, and they believe in rainbows and all kinds of things. And there is complete freedom. And here, there was no freedom. And even in such situation, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote one of the most beautiful commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Commentaries on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Such deep works. So much surrender. When external circumstances are not conducive. So much surrender and so much detachment. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written, for example, Sarartha Varshini Tika of Bhagavad Gita. And in that Tika, Tika means commentary. He has written the commentary in Sanskrit. The entire Bhagavad Gita, there is no verse that he has not written a commentary on. He went on writing commentary up to the Chapter 18, verse number 73. And then do you know what is the commentary for verse number 74, 75, 76, 77 and 78? What is the commentary? Anyone knows? Yeah. So the last five verses of the commentary, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, these five verses, the commentary to these five verses were written in 2 pages. And these five verses give the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita. However, the vehicle of Lord Ganesha somehow took these 2 pages away. Who is the vehicle of Lord Ganesha? A mouse. Because he's living in a hut. He's writing on a piece of palm leaves. So he said the vehicle of Ganesha took these 2 pages away. So be it. Anyway, it's a trifling matter. No need to rewrite it. I finish my commentary here. So he finished his commentary on verse number 73. 74, no commentary. No rewriting commentary. Because in his heart, he was writing just to please the Lord and to follow the instructions of the predecessor Acharyas. Not as a demonstration of his scholarship or for future generations to glorify or to speak highly of him. That was not his motivation. Just service of the Lord. Imagine we write an important book and one page goes missing. A, we become extremely anxious. B, we think, oh, I have to rewrite it. And we'll make sure everything is pakka. And here is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. His commentary is, even see, this detachment with surrender is a true Vaishnava. Prabhupada also showed surrender, but great detachment. And would not think too highly of himself ever. He was in, I believe, in Venezuela, Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, he was giving a Bhagavatam class outside the temple in the open because it was nice weather. And while he was giving a class, lots of mosquitoes were attacking everyone sitting in the audience. So everyone was going, you know, moving around and trying to be fidgety. So Srila Prabhupada looked at them and said, "What's going on? Sit properly." And then the personal servant of Prabhupada, he said, "But Prabhupada, you know, there are such big mosquitoes attacking all of us. We are not able to focus." And Prabhupada, with his eyes closed, sometimes he would go on speaking such deep topics with so much conviction. And then the devotee said, "Prabhupada, these mosquitoes are attacking all of us, but they don't seem to come even close to you because your body is transcendental." Srila Prabhupada immediately replied. He said, "That may be so here, but in Vrindavan they make no distinction." So Prabhupada was always dismissive of any glories that one would attribute to him. So, surrender with detachment is the sign of a pure devotee. And we even find in Shankaracharya, in fact, Shankaracharya's Sharirika Bhashya, I studied when I was very young. No, I was not born as a Shankarite. But when we were trained as children, we were trained to read the opposition views to be able to strengthen one's own faith. So our Acharya, he taught us the Sharirika Bhashya just so that we could find the holes in Sharirika Bhashya. It's very interesting. Madhvacharya has written a book, Srimad Vishnu Tattva Vinirnaya. In that book he says, "Now I shall establish my view that Lord Narayan is supreme, Lakshmi Devi is his consort, and everyone is their servant. I should establish this view in an unparalleled manner. Let me take up the atheist first." So he takes the atheist view, defeats them in 2-3 verses. They are finished. Let me take the Bauddhas, the Jainas, the this, that. He takes all the different philosophies, Pashupatas, the Ganapatyas. These philosophers no longer exist, but in his time they were prominent. And he defeats all of them. And then last he says, now let me take up the Mayavadis. And he is having so much joy. He writes about 60-70 verses, arguments against the Mayavadis. And then he says, actually, this philosophy is full of faults. Just so that I don't want to unnecessarily increase the size of this book, so I will stop here. Can you imagine? So humiliating. This is Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya stops the arguments there. He says it's established beyond doubt. If I go on and on, I will just unnecessarily increase the size of this book. This philosophy has no legs, no head, no arms. It's empty. Like that he criticizes and he finishes. So these acharyas are strong personalities, but very humble. Even Shankaracharya in his Charitaka Bhashya, I was saying when we read, there are certain sutras where the commentary by Shankaracharya is Aja Bhakshaha. Aja in Sanskrit means a goat. And Bhakshaha means eight. The commentary to the sutra is goat eight. Such humility, even Shankaracharya. Yeah, so we see. Anyway, while this situation was going on, the deities were smuggled out of Vrindavan. So many deities were smuggled out. There was the Gopalji deity, very famous as Srinathji, in Jatipura, Govardhan. That was smuggled out. And instead of Gopalji, they put some boxes of wood. And they took Gopalji out through Radhakund, Kama, and then to Nadwara in Rajasthan. Rajasthan was under the rule of Jai Singh and his forefathers. And they had alliance. They were alliance partners of the Mughals. Not because they subscribed to what Mughals did and they agreed with it, but because that way they could have their own little independence while paying the Mughals whatever was due to keep them happy. So they recognized Aurangzeb as the emperor of India, Badshah Alam. So these deities, they all went to Rajasthan. So Radha Gopinath deity went to Rajasthan. Radha Gokulananda, some say, went to Rajasthan. Then Radha Govindaji deity. So the temple was demolished by the army of Aurangzeb. And they brought in a cow and they butchered the cow in the temple hall and on the altar. So that the temple will never be reconsecrated. That was the way they would do it. They would hang the different limbs of the cow in different areas of the temple. So, but Radha Govindji deity had already been smuggled out to Radhakund and then to Kama. Kama is in Kama village is Kamyavan in Krishna's time. It's also in Brajmandal. And in Kamyavan, there is only one original deity of Vrindavan that remained in Kamyavan. Do you know which one that is? Very beautiful deity. If you haven't seen, you must visit. Yes, Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi said, I will not leave Vrindavan. This is my forest. So she didn't leave the borders of Kama. But all other deities left. So Govindji deity, in 1669, the king of Amber in Rajasthan, he said, remove the deity from Braj, otherwise the deity will be demolished. So the deities were smuggled to, in the night, so smuggled to Radhakund and then to in Kama. And in Kama, the deity stayed for 33 years. At that time, Aurangzeb was, thanks to the Marathas, Aurangzeb was so busy He left Delhi and he went to Aurangabad. And in 1707, Aurangzeb died of natural causes in Aurangabad, being completely exhausted and his army completely ruined. Because the Marathas were impossible to win. Impossible. Their infants were born enemies of the Mughals. So you can imagine. So at that time, 1707, so from 1681, Jagannath Puri temple was locked because seemingly Jagannath had been destroyed and taken by Aurangzeb, and the temple was locked. There was no Rath Yatra until 1707, when Aurangzeb died. When the king of Orissa found out, he opened the temple, he called all the priests, and there, magically, Jagannath was there. Actually, he was always there. And they had the Rath Yatra also. And that is the only year in which the Rath Yatra didn't happen in the month of Jyeshtha. Like this month, July. Not this month, next month. No, this is Jyeshtha. So, Rath Yatra happened in an odd time. Immediately, the king said, now we should do a Rath Yatra. So, there are two Rath Yatras in that year. So, at this point, practically everything was destroyed. Govindji was in Kama. Later on, Govindji was taken to Amber, which is 7-8 kilometers from Jaipur, and finally was moved to Jaipur. Now, a little bit of piece of history to understand the heritage. In the forefathers of the king of Jaipur, Jai Singh, his forefathers, eight generations up, was a king named as Prithviraj Singh. He was converted by the Ramanandi sect to become a Ramanandi devotee. He and his wife both, they were converted. So Ramanandis are an offshoot of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. They make through their lineage, their connection is to the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Ramanandis. So this Ramanandi priests, they were in Jaipur because the forefather kings was a follower of Ramananda Swami. So Ramanandis are Ramanujis. They worship Ram and Sita. They don't worship Radha Krishna. So you can imagine for 9 generations, they were the stronghold, the Ramanandis. Now something very interesting happened. Because these deities all came out of Vraj, the young prince, 7-year-old, Jai Singh, he was really attracted to these deities, and later on he was attracted to the works of Roop and Sanatan. So he was so attached to Govindji that he invited Govindji to Jaipur. But that threatened the Ramanandis. So Ramanandis are the family priests of the kings. And suddenly you have this Gaudiya deity come over, who is Krishna. They are worshipping Ram and Sita. So the Ramanandis, they said, we have to do something to stop this worship of Radha and Krishna, Radha and Govinda. So they approached the king, Jai Singh II. And they told Jai Singh that this Gaudiya Sampradaya is a problematic Sampradaya. Why is it problematic? Because it is not bona fide Sampradaya. That's point number one. Point number two, they worship Radha and Krishna, which is not bona fide. Because Radharani is just a girlfriend of Krishna. She is not married to Krishna. And Krishna had so many gopis. Radha may have been prominent amongst them, but so what? She is just one of the ordinary cowherd girls. So she cannot be put next to Krishna. Krishna we accept as an incarnation of Vishnu. But we don't accept Radharani's worship. So, Jai Singh said, okay, I will write to the important people of the Gaudiya Sampradaya in Vrindavan, and they will defend both their Sampradaya, and they will also defend the worship, the mode of worship that they practice. At that time, Shyam Charan Sharma was the Mahanta of Gopinath, Radha Gopinath in Vrindavan. He was Gaudiya. So Shyam Charan Sharma, he replied, as far as the Sampradaya is concerned, all Sampradayas, they come from Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. So how can we be not a bona fide Sampradaya? So there are four bona fide Sampradayas, yes, according to Padma Purana, but we are the fifth. And then as far as Radha Krishna worship is concerned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from both Radha and Krishna. So we worship. But when the Ramanandis heard this reply, they started laughing. They said, what nonsensical reply is this? We want reply which is based on scriptures, based on evidence, based on logic. Not some kind of sectarian imaginary beliefs. We don't accept. So Jai Singh said, okay, we will separate Radharani and she will be worshipped separately in some other room. So he arranged Radharani to be worshipped in some other room and Govind to be worshipped alone. Govind is the deity of Rupa Goswami. Yeah. Now over there, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, who had been trained in logic and grammar and aesthetics, he was actually born not a Brahmana. Baldev Vidya Bhushan was born a Vaishya. Vaishya is a community of traders. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan, anyways, he studied and he went to Uttaradi Math, which is in Karnataka. He traveled to South India and there he studied under the Uttaradi Math, Padmanab Tirtha's Math. And he studied logic, argument and Madhvacharya Vedanta. And he was also initiated in the Madhva Sampradaya. These are two separate things. So one, this is going on, the challenges with Govinda Dev. And here is Baladeva, who had studied under Madhva Sampradaya. After studying under Madhva and taking initiation, Baldev went on a tour to India. And he had heard that Jagannath Mandir is a bastion of all the scholars. So he went to Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, he met Rasikananda. So we know Shyamanand Pandit, associate of Mahaprabhu. Shyamanand Pandit's disciple Rasikananda. Rasikananda's great grand disciple was Radha Damodar Goswami. So Radha Damodar Goswami was in Puri. And Baldev Vidya Bhushan went and met Radha Damodar Goswami. And Radha Damodar Goswami had a debate with Baldev Vidya Bhushan. And he convinced Baldev Vidya Bhushan of the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And this young man, Baldev, who was a Madhva, initiated in the Madhva Sampradaya, accepted and embraced Gaudiya Sampradaya. And Radha Damodar Goswami told him, if you really want to understand the subtle principles of Gaudiya Sampradaya, you have to study the Shatsandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, the six books that give the conclusions of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he was studying the six Sandarbhas. And then he visited Navadvip. And in Navadvip, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they said, for a scholar like you, you should go and study directly under one great saint of our Sampradaya who never leaves the precinct of Vrajamandala. Even today, there are many, many sadhus in Braj who have taken Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas means they never leave the boundary of that particular dham. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had taken a vow not to ever leave Vrindavan. So Baldevidya Bhushan said, I will go to Vrindavan. He went to Vrindavan and he studied Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarartha, Darshini Tika, directly under Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who were his deities? Very beautiful deities. Who are the deities here? Radha, Sri Sri Radha, Gokulananda. The original Radha Gokulananda deities are deities of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They are in Vrindavan. So Radha Gokulananda Mandir is just, you can literally walk 2 minutes from Radha Raman Mandir. You know, it's a walking distance. So many thoughts are coming to my mind. In so many places. Being pulled in many directions. Okay, I got to focus. So Baldevidya Bhushan takes shelter of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. At that time, this argument is boiling in Jaipur. What are the two things? Gaudiya is not a bona fide sampradaya, and Radharani cannot be worshipped next to Krishna because she is not a queen of Krishna. You can worship Rukmini, but you can't worship Radha. This was the argument of Ramanandis. And already, Shyam Charan Sharma's response, they had rejected. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they had actually replied. The reply of the Ramanandis was, in Sanskrit, these discussions used to happen in Sanskrit. The reply was, Sampradaya hi chatvarah. There are only 4 sampradayas. Panchamo naiva vidyate. There is no 5th sampradaya. Padmokta vachane naiva. This is said in Padma Puran. Nirnitam panditai kila. The great pandits, they only accept these 4 sampradayas. What are the 4 sampradayas? Madhva, I will say the name of the acharyas. So Madhva, Ramanuja, of which Ramanandis are part. Vallabha, who is originally links up to. But who is the acharya? Vishnu Swami. And 4th is Nimbarka. So they are saying only these 4 sampradayas. Panchamo naiva vidyate. There is no 5th. Don't even mention that Mahaprabhu came with this, he is Krishna himself, so his sampradaya is bona fide. This is all bogus, your imaginary conclusions. We don't accept this, the Ramanandis said. We only accept Padma Puran, which says 4 sampradaya. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur spoke to Baldevidya Bhushan and he told Baldevidya Bhushan, actually, I cannot travel. I'm already 60, 65 years old and very frail. Plus, I've taken the vow of not leaving Vraj Mandala. So you go, I depute you. Baldevidya Bhushan was completely unknown personality. These Ramanandis, because they were being taken care of by the kings, they were big, huge people, even in size. You know, some priests in India, you can see how they are very well maintained in every sense. Huh? So these Ramanandis are very well maintained priests. And here was Baldevidya Bhushan, who looked like a bamboo stick, very, very thin, frail, and very humble. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you go. So Baldevidya Bhushan said, please explain to me, how can I defend? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave him some thoughts. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, actually, let me tell you what is the truth of this matter. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says to Baldev, That in Padma Purana it says, Sampradaya vihina ye mantra ste nishphala mata. Any mantra which does not come in the sampradaya, one of the four sampradaya, is useless. Atah kalau bhavishyanti chatvarah sampradayinah. Therefore in Kali Yuga there are only four sampradayas. What are they? Shri Brahma Rudra Sanaka Vaishnavakshiti Pavana. Shri Sampraday, Brahma Sampraday, Rudra Sampraday and Kumar Sanakadi, four Kumara Sampraday. That's why in Kali Yuga there are only four Sampradayas. This is written in Padma Purana. The last line is Chatvaraste Kalau Bhavya. These four Sampradayas appear in Kali Yuga. Yat Yutkale Purushottame. The last two words are Utkale. Utkale means in Utkala Rajya, Orissa state. Purushottame in Jagannath Puri. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains these last two words as Padma Purana says there are four sampradayas. These are the four sampradayas. They appear in Kali Yuga and the fifth one, directly Purushottam appears in Purushottam Kshetra. Utkale Purushottame. Lord Chaitanya appears as the fifth one in Purushottam Kshetra. This is the real meaning. But he says they will not understand it. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sri Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, I believe, yes. In Navadvip Dham Mahatmya chapter 16. I'm stretching my head. In chapter 16, yes it is. Of Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what does he say? He says that Mahaprabhu's sampradaya is the essence of all four sampradayas. How? He took two principles from each sampradaya. So from the Shri sampradaya, what principles did he take? Shri sampradaya? He took two principles. One, he took the principle of serving the Vaishnavas. Second, he took the principle of Ananya Bhakti. Vaishnava Seva and Ananya Bhakti. He took from Shri Sampradaya. If you go to South India, Shri Sampradaya, Ranganath Mandir, these temples, you find, you know, even when two Ramanujis, they are discussing with each other. They are discussing in Sanskrit or whatever language, Tamil. They will say something like this. If he is discussing, if some question is being asked, even to a very learned scholar, a question is asked, please answer anything X, Y, Z. Then the person will answer and he'll say, iti dasasya abhiprayaha. This is the little, with little intelligence, this is the opinion of this servant. They will always refer to themselves as servant of whoever they are talking to, whoever they are with. Even in their language, they will say, this is the servant's opinion. Even when they are talking to each other. Because Vaishnava Seva is so important. And Ananya Bhakti, no other demigod, only Narayan. He took from Shri Sampradaya. Then from Madhava Sampradaya, what he took? Yes, he took Archana in Udupi. Udupi Krishna is worshipped so beautifully. So he took the principle of worshipping Krishna from Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And second principle he took was Kevala Advaita Nirasana. Bhakti Vinod says. Nirasana actually in Sanskrit means kicking out, kicking the backside of Kevala Advaitis. Kicking out. This Madhvacharya, his philosophy is Dvaita. I just told you how he writes in his book, Vishnu Tattva Vinirnaya. He said, I don't want to waste the reader's time and my time and unnecessarily increase the size of this book. That's why I'll stop the arguments here. And he walks away. Such humiliating. So this is his level. So Mahaprabhu took two principles, worship, deity worship, and demolishing the impersonalist. So Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra, what do we say? Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Who is Nirvishesha? Mayavad. Vishesha means separate. Nirvishesha means not separate. You are Brahman, I am Brahman, we are one Brahman. Yeah? So there is one nice pastime. Shankaracharya was Vaishnava at heart. Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, 12th canto Bhagavatam. Right? So he is Vaishnava at heart. So he once goes with his followers through a forest area. There is no water. He is very, very thirsty. Shankaracharya is very thirsty. So his followers also are thirsty. So they say, yeah, well, let's go. So they go and they find a blacksmith who is working on some copper. He's making some copper vessels. So molten iron he had, and with that molten iron, he was trying, you know, making something. And Shankaracharya, he said, I'm very thirsty. Where I can find some water? Now, in those days, these are Brahmanas. They will not drink the water in the house of the shop of a blacksmith. So he said, is there a well? So the blacksmith said, no, there is no well in the nearby area. There are no rivers. You have to walk at least 20-30 miles away. So Shankaracharya said, I cannot wait. In front of his followers, he said, I cannot wait. I must drink. There is this liquid substance here. What is that liquid substance? The molten iron. He said, you all are thirsty, I am also thirsty. This molten iron is Brahman. I am Brahman, we are one. He took the molten iron, he drank it. And then he looked at disciples. He said, now your turn. They all said, no thirst. We are fully satisfied. So he proved like that indirectly many times. That this philosophy is, you know, everything is one. Nirvishesha. Shunyavad means Buddhism. Anyway, digression. Coming back to the point. So, here, our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, they don't understand this Ramanandi, that Mahaprabhu has taken the principles from all four sampradayas. Did I cover all four? No. Did I miss someone? Yes, two. Nimbarka and Vishnu Swami. Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, in which we have Vallabhacharya. He took two principles. What two principles he took? One is Raganuga Bhakti. You know, we all talk about Raganuga Bhakti. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first Eastern Wave, we find in the concluding verses, in the original Sanskrit, Rupa Goswami says that the same Raganuga Bhakti that I have described here and defined here is also known famously as Pushti Marg. He writes that in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, Rupa Goswami writes. So this Raganuga Bhakti is taken from Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. What is the other thing taken? Tadiya Sarvasva Bhava. Tadiya Sarvasva means exclusive dependence of Krishna and Krishna alone. Tadiya also means his devotees. So exclusive dependence on Krishna and his devotees. No dependence on anyone else or anything else. This is taken from Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. And finally from Nimbarka Sampradaya he took two principles. Ekantika Radhikashraya. Taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. And second principle he took was Gopi Bhava. Gopi Bhartuhu Dasa Kamalayo. Gopi Bhartuhu Padakamalayoha dasa dasa anudasa. This he took from Nimbarkas. And actually, if you see, each of these sampradayas, these are the prominent things in these sampradayas. For example, if you go to Nimbarka sampradaya, they don't fight the Mayavadis. If you go to Madhva sampradaya, they don't worship Radharani or take shelter of Radharani. If you go to Pushtimark sampradaya, the whole mood is Raganuga bhav. There is not too much emphasis on the aspects of Radha, Radharani or the gopis. It is Bal Gopal, Vatsalya bhav. So if you see, what Mahaprabhu has given is the best of all four, because he is Krishna himself. This was explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to Baldev Vidyabhushan. Then he also said to Baldev Vidyabhushan, also understand this. You have studied Tattva Sandarbha, which is the first of the six Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. So he said, you have studied Tattva Sandarbha. So you know in Tattva Sandarbha, Srimad Bhagavatam has been established as the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, if an author writes a commentary on his own work, who better than the author can write a commentary on his own work, isn't it? So what is the need to write another commentary? That is why the Gaudiyas, they don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Not because we are not a bona fide sampradaya, but because we accept Bhagavatam as the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And finally, as far as worship of Radharani is concerned, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Mahaprabhu is combination of Radha and Krishna, and Radha and Krishna are energy and energetic, they are non-different. One cannot say that I want the sun, but I don't want the sunlight. One cannot say I want the sunlight, but I don't accept the existence of the sun. That cannot be. Because the energy and the energetic principle are one and the same, and yet they are different. Isn't it? The sun and sunlight are the same, but they are different. When there is sunlight in the room, you might say, oh, the sun is coming in the room. Now, thank God the sun is actually not coming in the room, otherwise we'll all be roasted. I mean, so, but we say like this, because why do we say? We don't say the sunlight is coming in the room, because sun and sunlight is the same, and yet it is different. Yeah, you get sunburns, you don't get sunlight burns, isn't it? So, sun and sunlight is same. Similarly, energy, Radharani, and energetic, Lord Krishna are same, and yet they are different. This Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained to Baldev Vidyabhushan. He gave his blessings and said, you go. And now you debate with the Ramanandis. And I will quickly summarize the debate that he had with the Ramanandis. Then we'll finish the session. So when he first approached the Ramanandis, these Ramanandis, well-maintained Ramanandis, they looked at this bamboo stick and they said, you are here to defend Gaudiya Sampradaya? They said, do you have anything in you? Like, you know, it was a pun. You know what a pun is? Pun means double meaning. So do you have anything in you, meaning you look also very thin? And do you have anything in you, as in any understanding? They're really humiliating. So he said, yes. And then Ramanandi said, well, actually, you know what? Even before you open your mouth, let us tell you. We will only debate with someone who is from a bona fide sampradaya. So they had started what is called as Char Akhada, Char Sampradaya Akhada in Jaipur, where all four sampradayas of Vaishnavas were recognized. But the Gaudiyas were not. So I said, we can't even let you debate with us. It's below our caliber to debate with you. Such humiliation. So Baldev Vidyabhushan said, "Let me tell you, I am a disciple of Satyavrata Tirtha from Uttaradi Math of the Madhva Sampradaya," which is true, he was. Immediately the Ramanandi said, "Oh, then we have to listen. Okay, then you have eligibility to talk to us." He said, "But I must also tell you that I took shelter of Radha Damodar Goswami in Jagannath Puri, who is a Gaudiya Vaishnava, and later on took shelter of Shripad Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Vrindavan, who is also a Gaudiya. So I am both a Gaudiya and a Madhva." So he said, "That is very confusing," the Ramanandi said. "How can you be both? You have to be either or." And they said, "If you were already initiated in Madhva, you couldn't have been reinitiated. You can't be reinitiated in a bona fide sampradaya." So he said, "No, I was not reinitiated, but I was in a ceremony in which I took vow that I will have my fidelity with the Gaudiya Sampradaya." So then the Ramanandi somehow said, "Okay, we'll let you speak. Anyway, we will finish you off like a blade of grass is trampled over by a pack of, what do you call, school of, pack of, I don't know how you say it, elephants, you know. You don't know, pack of lions, but not elephants, something of elephants. So, like a troop of elephants, yes. We will finish you, don't worry." So then, he opens his mouth, Baldev Vidyabhushan, and he says his arguments. Number one, Gaudiya Sampradaya is bona fide Sampradaya. What is the proof? The proof is Asmadacharyaha Deva Asmakam Pramana, he said. Our Acharya's writings and the lineage claimed by them is our Pramana. So Ramanandi said, "Okay, show us. Show us the lineage." So he had a copy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur maintained a library of books in which these are all handwritten manuscripts. Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, written in 1562 something by Kavi Karnapur. Gaur Ganodesh Deepika manuscript he brought. And what is written in the manuscript, I have the verses here. Just stay with me for 2 minutes. Verse number 23 to 32. Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, he presented. Baldev Vidyabhushan presented and he said, "Please read. This is 300 years before, 300 years previously. This is the manuscript. Please read." So the Ramanandi is the read. Because they will accept literature and manuscripts. So over there in the manuscript it said, Paravyomeshwarasya Satshishyo Brahma Jagatpatihi. The Supreme Lord's direct disciple was Brahma. I am going to tell you the gist, otherwise it will take too long. So you remember all the names. Huh? I will ask you, quiz you at the end. Brahma is direct disciple of Krishna. Next. Tasya shishyo narado bhut vyasas tasya apashishyatam. Brahma's shishya means disciple, was Narada. Narada's was Vyas. Shuko vyasasya shishvatvam prapto jnanavabodhanat. By receiving Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami became disciple of Vyas. Vyasa labdha Krishna diksho madhvacharyo mahashayaha. From Vyas, Krishna mantra was given to Madhvacharya. Krishna mantra. Tasya shishyo bhavat Padmanabhacharya mahashayaha. His disciple was Padmanabhacharya. Padmanabhatirtha, who is the main pontiff of the Uttaradi Math, where Baldev Vidyabhushan studied. So, Madhvacharya's disciple is Padmanabh. Then, Tasya Shishyo Narahari, his disciple is Narahari. Tasya Shishyo Madhava Dvijaha. His disciple is Madhava Tirtha. Akshobhyastasya Shishyo. His Shishya is? Disciple is Akshobhya Tirtha. Abhut Tasya Shishyo Jayatirtha Kaha. His disciple is Jayatirtha. Tasya Shishyo Jnana Sindhu. His disciple is Jnana Sindhu. Tasya Shishyo Mahanidhi. His disciple is Mahanidhi Tirtha. Vidyanidhis Tasya Shishyo. Disciple? Vidyanidhi. Rajendras Tasya Sevakaha. His disciple is Rajendra. Jayadharma Munis Tasya. Jayadharma Muni is his disciple. Shishyo Yadgana Madhyataha. And amongst many disciples of Jayadharma Muni, Srimad Vishnupuri Riyastu. Srimad Vishnupuri is one of his disciples. Bhakti Ratnavali Kriti. He has composed a very famous work called Bhakti Ratnavali, which is even available today. Jayadharmasya Shishyobhud. And Jayadharma's disciple was Brahmanya Purushottama. Brahmanya Purushottam Tirtha. Vyasa Tirthastasya Shishyo. His disciple was Vyasa Tirtha. Yas Chakre Vishnu Samhitam. Vyasa Tirtha wrote a very important book called Vishnu Samhita. Beautiful book. Beautiful literature. Very famous. So he came from Krishna all the way through Madhva to Vyasa Tirtha. Now, Shriman Lakshmipatistasya Shishyo Bhakti Rasashrayah. His disciple was Lakshmipati Tirtha, who took shelter of Bhakti Devi. Tasya Shishyo Madhavendro Yaddharmoyam Pravartita. His Shishya was Madhavendra Puri, who started this religion. Tasya Shishyo Bhavat Shriman Ishwarakhya Puriyati. His disciple was great personality by the name of Ishwarapuri. Kalayamasa Shringaram Yashringara Phalatmaka. He was the first one who promoted Shringar Ras, Madhurya Bhav. Who? Ishwarpuri. Advaitam Kalayamasa Dasya Sakhye Phale Ubhe. He was also the guru of Advaita Acharya, who was also both a servant and an associate of the next personality. Who is this next personality? Ishwarakhya Purim Gaura. Ishwarpuri's disciple was Gaura. Ururi Kritya Gaurave, who increased the fame of the Sampradaya. Jagad Aplavana Masa Prakrut Aprakrutahatmakam. He made the material non-material. He gave transcendental bliss. He inundated Aplava. Aplava. He inundated the whole world with the love of Krishna. Jagat. Aplava. This lineage was presented by Baldev Vidyabhushan immediately. The Ramanandis, they could not deny. They said, we accept that the Gaudiya Sampradaya is bona fide. You have the entire Guru Parampara there. But now, you have to argue with us about the worship of Radharani. And this argument can only be had on the basis of Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra. Please, open your book and let's debate. Now they knew Gaudiya Sampradaya had no commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Why? Who remembers? Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary. So Baldev Vidyabhushan did not have the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So he said, I don't have a commentary. Gaudiyas don't have a commentary. He said, well then, you have to establish the worship of Radha Krishna through the commentary of Madhvacharya, because you claim to be in Madhva Sampradaya. Now, of course, the difficulty is Madhvacharya don't worship Radha Krishna. So, at that time, Jadishai Mahaprabhur Napai Kripadhan Kibarajyo Kibade Sabha Karan. Jadi Mahaprabhur Kripar Sai Mahaprabhur na pai kripadhan. This principle of attaining the mercy of Mahaprabhu, having full surrender. Baldev Vidyabhushan takes surrender of Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu inspires him and tells him to respond to the king. Baldev Vidyabhushan responds to the king and says, "My dear king, give me 3 days. In 3 days, I will present to you the commentary on Vedanta Sutra." So all these Ramanandis, they are laughing. 3 days? Vedanta Sutra is such a difficult work. It is a conclusion of all conclusions. Vedana mantaha iti Vedantaha. The conclusion of Vedas. So he says, the king says, "Okay, you have 3 days. Baladev goes to Govindadev. He cries in front of Govindadev. With full surrender, he prays to the Lord. "My dear Lord, please, you save. You save us. I'm trying to defend you. I'm trying to defend Lord Chaitanya, who is you. So you can save me. You can help me." And with that prayerful mood, when he goes back, he takes rest. And in his sleep, in his dream, Govinda appears, the deity Govindadev. And he starts dictating the commentary of Vedanta Sutra. And in 3 days and nights, Govindadev himself dictates the commentary of Vedanta Sutra. And when the commentary is ready, he goes to Baldev Vidyabhushan, goes back to the Ramanandis and says, "Here is the commentary of the Vedanta Sutra of the Gaudiya Sampradaya." And they say, they flip the pages, they say, "You produced all this? Who produced all this? Who is the author?" Baldev Vidyabhushan says, "Govinda Bhashya. Govinda himself spoke this to me." So what is the commentary of Gaudiya's called on Vedanta Sutra? It is called Govinda Bhashya commentary. If you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, who does Srila Prabhupada dedicate the Bhagavad Gita to? You know, the author dedicates the book to someone. Who does he dedicate Bhagavad Gita to? Baladev Vidyabhushan. And then below that he writes, "Who so nicely presented Govinda Bhashya commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, the defender of Gaudiya Sampradaya." Then, based on Govinda Bhashya, actually, it is a little I'm in two minds if I should go into it, because this is now in, I was going to go through how he establishes through the sutra 3.3.18.42 Upasthite tad tastad vachanat. This is the Vedanta Sutra. Upasthite ataha tad vachanat. Three words are there. Upasthite. In his commentary of Govinda Bhashya, Baldev Vidyabhushan says, this means upasthitihi, means upa means near, nikate, samipe, sthitaha, iti upasthitaha. One who is close, next to, is called upasthita. So he says upasthite. Radharani is always next to Krishna. There is no possibility of separating the sun from the sunlight and the sunlight from the sun. No possibility. Similarly, the energy of the Lord is always with the Lord, Radha and Krishna. So, sorry, I should stop now, yeah? Okay, so we will stop in 1 minute. Should I just stop? I take 1 minute. I think there is some session here, or... Oh, Krishna Club is here, yes. Very important. Okay, So then let me just finish what I was saying. Tad Vachanath, he quotes Gopala Tapani Upanishad, from which he establishes Srimati Radharani as the consort of Lord Krishna, and by saying that, he establishes that Radha Krishna are to be worshipped. Of course, this matter is very, very deep, and it may not be possible to have a casual discussion. By the way, some of you might wonder, well, let me just go and now buy the Govinda Bhashya commentary and start reading it. Please do not even attempt, because it presupposes you understand all the Upanishads, you understand the Sanskrit language, you have a great understanding of the preliminary Gaudiya works. It's a PhD-like work. So let's not jump into it. Otherwise it may not make any sense. Actually, I will end with this, something sweet. Madhurena samapayet. Sanatana Goswami says, one must end with the sweet. When we eat something, we finish with the sweet. So conclusion, that last verse that finishes the Govinda Bhashya commentary, Baldev Vidyabhushan writes, Vidya Rupam Bhushanam Me Pradaya. You, Govinda, you gave me the Vidya as a Bhushana, as an ornament. That's why he got the title Vidya Bhushana. Vidya Rupam Bhushanam Me Pradaya. Khyatim Ninye Tena Yo Mamudara. Govinda, you made me famous, but you made yourself famous. Shri Govinda Swapna Nirdishta Bhashya. Shri Govinda, you directed this Bhashya in Swapna, in my dream. Radha Bandhu Bandhurangam Sajiyat. You are the eternal associate of Radha, O Govinda. May all glories forever and ever be yours. He finishes his Govinda Bhashya with this verse. And this is how he later on became the Mahanta of Radha Govinda Temple in Jaipur, Mahanta of Shyam Sundar Temple in Vrindavan. And so much influenced Srila Prabhupada was with Baldev Vidyabhushan. He would also regularly from Radha Damodar visit Shyam Sundar Mandir, and the temple in Vrindavan, ISKCON Temple, the deities Srila Prabhupada also named as Shyam Sundar. The first Bhagavad Gita he dedicated to Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan. That was the attachment and deep connection that Srila Prabhupada had with Baldev Vidyabhushan. There are many more things to say, but of course we respect Krishna in the form of time. So we will stop here. But let us pray to Baldev Vidyabhushan on his disappearance day that we may endeavor to exhibit the same surrender and detachment as him and the previous acharyas. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari.